week, what's on your mind as we count down to Election Day. Wow. I can't even believe it. Does it not seem like just all of a sudden a switch flipped and it became like, hey, it's going to be here in no time from, oh, it's a long ways off. Incredible. It's real now, folks. It is real. So much at stake in this election. You know, we say that often, but this is the real deal. Think about it. You only need to listen to the words of the two candidates to know how very different it is. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely incredible. So this week we have Big Iron. Tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. Looking forward to that. Should be a blast. We also have a Trump bus tour that starts tomorrow that'll be on the Minnesota side. They are going to cover a good chunk of western Minnesota. I'll tell you where and who in just a moment. Governor Kristi Noem will be part of that bus tour. Michelle Bachmann, Mike Lindell, David Bossi, Corey Lewandowski. I'm forgetting people. I know other people from the Trump campaign. And, of course, Friday, then, the president is in Bemidji, Minnesota. I can't even believe that. Bemidji, Minnesota. The airport's not even big enough to accommodate either version of Air Force One. So what I'm hearing is they have to land elsewhere and then Marine One over to Bemidji. So some of you folks, watch the skies. Tuesday afternoon, you could see the president. On the program today, we're going to talk with Mark Lauder. He is the Director of Strategic Communication for the Trump campaign. We're going to talk about the president's trip to Minnesota, preview that for you. We also will talk a little bit about Joe Biden, a supporter of NAFTA, is now having to admit that the USMCA is not so bad. Wasn't that special? U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar will be here at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk with him about the coronavirus therapies, the coronavirus vaccines, the warp speed process, the innovation that's going on. Talk with them about North Dakota's role in all of this. North Dakota's, I think, number one. It's either number one or number two in per capita testing. And right up there as well with per capita positives of COVID. Kind of go together. You test a lot, you find you have a lot of cases, well, then those people get treatments and seems like the proactive way to go. Some people say, don't test a lot, then nobody will think we have any coronavirus like those other states. I don't know that we're any different than any other state, but we are being proactive in the testing category. You like that idea? You tell me.
Yeah,
I do. Do you? You want to know. Be proactive. Just go after it.
Well, I mean, do we test for cases of anything else? Cases.
Yeah.
We just please look at, the people that it's actually killing.
Joe Biden has lost the vote of Black Lives Matter and Antifa with his tweet last night. Violence is never okay. Violence will not be tolerated.
Now who will I vote for?
What?
Yeah.
I thought that was the ends to the means. That's just fine. Means to the end,
They'll nominate their own candidate then, I'm sure. The BLM party.
He had to write that in a tweet because the president, obviously, as he always does, condemned the ambush of the deputies in Los Angeles. Almost can't even believe what I'm about to say. But believe it or not, these people went to the hospital and blocked the entrance to the emergency room and started yelling, I hope he dies. I hope they die. Now can we go back and talk about how important the election is? Because Joe Biden had to condemn it today, but it's taken him a long time to call a spade a spade. A long time. Just saying. What else we have for you on the show today? We have Mark Smith, presidential scholar at King's College in New York City, and author of First They Came for the Gun Owners, the campaign to disarm you and take your freedoms. He'll be joining us on the program. And we have a busy week. Got a lot going on. A lot of guests. Going to count down to the big event Friday. We'll be there Friday broadcasting live in Bemidji. So much going on. So much going on. I also have, I don't think we'll have time in this segment, but we will next hour play you a clip of the Burley-Morton Task Force dealing with the coronavirus. Did you see what the Morton County Commission did related to the masks?
I did not. Oh, here we go.
Todd Mitchell, our correspondent, is on that. What was the vote, Todd, for the whether or not to do the mask mandate?
I believe it was unanimous to let's not.
I'm sorry, but a unanimous vote. Is that not? I don't know what to call that.
Message?
A message, yeah. Just as the
direct
sort of common sense. Normally you say, well, some want it, some don't. Not in Morton County. No. No, no, no. And again, are they saying don't wear masks? Absolutely not. That's what people forget here. They're not saying don't wear masks. They're saying we're not going to make you wear a mask. We're going to allow you to choose to wear a mask. And by the way, before the first person texts me some snarky thing, oh, I'm glad to know you're pro-choice now. And whether to wear a mask.
Hey, my body, my choice.
let me see here. Is there a big difference between a baby and a mask? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. So, my body, my choice. But anyway,
I like that one.
There's a member of the task force that I know. I don't know her well, but I know her because she was part of the Morton County public information during DAPL. So that's where I would have gotten to know her. And she's a member of the task force. And she gave the most common sense answer on this before the commission. She's a member of the commission. She got done saying it and they just like totally shredded what she had to say. It was unbelievable. You got to hear this. You got to hear this. So we will play that for you today as well. That's something to look forward to coming up on the program, okay? Stay tuned for that. Maxine Herr, by the way, is her name, on the Bismarck Mandan Burley Morton COVID Task Force. You watched it. It was about a half an hour into the meeting. Very interesting stuff. All right. I think I've told you everybody we've got lined up on the program. Did I tell you about Mark Smith? I don't think I did. He is the author of a book, First They Came for the Gun Owners, the Campaign to Disarm You and Take Your Freedoms. He's a presidential scholar at King's College in New York City. This book came to my attention from a listener. It's very well done, and I very much look forward to that conversation, because if you need anything else in the way of a reminder about how darn important this election is, your Second Amendment rights should be right up there, shouldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, you said he was coming up. We just didn't get into why or the author or what the book was. That sounds like a great read.
That's going to be a dandy. All right. We are brought to you in part today by our friends at PetroServe USA, and I'm looking right here at the Monday lunch specials at PetroServe USA. Are you ready? Sausage potato. How does that sound?
Sounds like an excellent hot dish.
Rarely does a day pass when somebody doesn't send me a note saying, could you stop making me so hungry? No, I'll never stop making you hungry because I want you to go to the Harwood PetroServe USA location, have sausage potato today, chicken fettuccine at Fargo, 12th Avenue North, Salisbury steak, West Main Avenue, West Fargo, and in Valley City, beef tips and gravy or scalloped potatoes and ham for lunch today at PetroServe USA. September specials include, well, every Monday, any fresh baked muffin is only 99 cents. So I'd get in there and have yourself a muffin for sure. Red Bull, the 16-ounce cans, three of those for $7.50 today. Three for $750. Those are really, really, really a good boost. Get you going for the day, for sure. All right, Mark Lauder from the Trump campaign coming up in just a moment. And so much more. Your calls, your questions, your comments, welcome at 800-228-0550, 800-228-0550. Big Iron tomorrow, Trump bus in Minnesota tomorrow, President Trump in Bemidji on Friday. What's on your mind? 20 past the hour. Texts are rolling in here and there. Welcome to, for me, 701-367-2054. For Todd, 701-226-8503. I cannot get over what happened in Los Angeles County over the weekend. I can't get it out of my mind. I mean, it's not new, sadly, and it started in Ferguson, Missouri in the Obama administration, in case anybody's forgotten how this awful, contagion started. Obama. Yeah. The race war, the civil unrest, Obama. That's where it started. Not Donald Trump. Joe Biden better check his facts when he talks about, Trump being responsible for all this civil unrest. No. Goes back there. And now, fast forward to Los Angeles County over the weekend. Two deputies shot and a mob at the hospital, not letting them in. Chanting, we hope they die, we hope they die, we hope they die.
You don't want things, Scotty, on this. Gang initiations and gang rituals for decades have involved ambushing police officers in Los Angeles with the Crips and the Bloods, and now you got MS-13. What's unprecedented is what you just said, what happened at the emergency room. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah, sadly, Los Angeles has been in that swamp for decades.
This hour of the program brought to you by MyPillow, our friend Mike Lindell. I talked to him last night. He's looking forward to being on the bus for 3 days. He said, I'm going to get all this work done. I got so much to do. I'll get all this work done. I'm like, yeah, you'll get a lot of work done. There's no chance. You'll be bouncing off the walls. You'll be, playing a little, pinochle or something with Mark Lauder. Anyway, he makes a great pillow, folks. Nobody makes a better one. MyPillow.com. Promo code Scott gets you all the great deals. Check the radio listener specials, because about every special we've ever had is there. Somebody the other day said, can I still get the towels? Of course, MyPillow towels, beach towels now too, beach blankets, all of those deals. And you're supporting a great American company and a patriot of all patriots. He's just incredible, this man. Unbelievable. Mike Lindell, MyPillow. He'll be on the bus tour and also in Bemidji. So he'll be doing more selfies than the president will. Secret Service won't let the president do many selfies. So check it out. MyPillow.com or call them at 800-506-9028. Mark Lauder is here, Director of Strategic Communications for the Trump campaign. Talk about the president's trip to Bemidji, the bus tour that he'll be on, and much more. Mark, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Scott?
So remember, Mike Lindell said he was going to work on the bus. You kind of police that, would you?
I can tell you, having done these bus tours before, there is very little downtime in between the stops. I mean, I was out in Colorado a few weeks ago. We were doing 8 and 9 stops a day. I think about the most you ever got was about 20 minutes on the bus in between stops. It was nonstop.
I don't doubt it, and I've seen the schedule for this go-around. It looks like you're going to be plenty busy as well, crisscrossing Minnesota. For folks that have not taken in one of these bus tour events before, I mean, you got Michelle Bachmann and Governor Kristi Noem and Mike Lindell, David Bossie, as well as, Corey Lewandowski on this one, yourself. I'm not sure who else is all joining. Some folks coming in and out of the tour as well as it goes. What happens? Why should folks go to one of the stops?
Well, it's a great opportunity to come out and show your support for the president. The Team Trump on tour bus, it's a big red bus, emblazoned with our subtle logos. and it rolls up, and usually, once I've seen in the past, you could have 75, you could have a couple of hundred people there at these various stops coming out to see folks who are working on the campaign, advisors to the campaign. Obviously, many people that you've seen, whether they're local politicians or celebrities or business successes like Mike Lindell. They come out, you know, there's usually maybe 20 minutes or so of folks just saying a few words here and there, lots of selfies, autographs, and then we're off and running. Sometimes we stop off at diners and things in between and surprise some folks there. Always a good time also to get the best food. And then we just keep moving because there's so much excitement. And our mission, our message to it, each one of these stops is that, look, this president's got me by a couple of decades, and he's wearing me out. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he keeps going. And if we can work as hard for him for the next 50 days, as he's been working for us for the last 3.5 years, he can keep it up for another 4. But we've got to take it upon ourselves now to make sure that every single person who supports this president or who supports where this economy is going and bringing back manufacturing jobs, supporting the people who are working on the Iron Range and our farmers and ranchers and everyone else, if they want to keep that going, they got to get out and make sure their vote is cast and counted for President Trump.
Yeah, and somebody just texted me now and said, hey, where do I vote? Do I know I vote in person? Do I not? There's been so much confusion. Exact quote from the text here. Are we going to be allowed to go to a voting booth to cast our vote? I plan to do so. If you know differently, please say so on what's on your mind. Please keep us informed. If I can't vote at the booth, I better make other plans. What do you tell folks about where and how and to not get caught up in the hoopla here of what's obviously going to be quite a confusing time voting wise with in-person voting, with mail-in voting, with early voting, with, you know, absentee voting. There's about 9 different versions, and that's by design by some folks on the left. What do you want them to know?
Well, just to make sure that they get out. And, you know, obviously it's the best way to make sure your vote is counted is to do it on election day at your polling place. But if for some reason you're not available or you might have some of those comorbidities, the high risk categories that make you a little uneasy about going in person, absentee balloting by mail is very well regulated. It's been around for a long time. It's secured. It's safe. Go ahead and cast your absentee ballot. But what you want to do is make sure that you put the ballot into either the mail or the receptacle where it belongs. Do not hand it to someone else, other than a family member or somebody that you trust. Because what we know is that across so many of these states, especially states with these radical Democrat governors, is that they're allowed what's called vote harvesting, where they're going to send their Democrat goons and operatives around door to door into senior citizen centers to intimidate people. And there was just a story a few weeks ago, I think it was out of New Jersey, with a Democrat operative who said, yeah, mail-in ballot fraud is real. He specialized in doing it, and it took him less than 30 seconds to steam open your envelope and change your vote. So don't trust that vote to someone you don't trust. And if you can, vote in person. Make sure your vote is there. Make sure it's counted.
Question for you related to another issue before we let you go, and that is something very important to the ag community in this part of North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota as well. And that's the new USMCA, because NAFTA was a bad deal, awful, right? And the president obviously had momentous success and just didn't quit until he got that thing agreed to. Joe Biden now is signing on to saying, yeah, well, that's an okay deal. I mean, so acknowledging an accomplishment of the president is pretty significant. What does that say?
Well, it just shows you that, I mean, how bad the NAFTA bill was, and that Joe Biden voted for it, supported it, was a champion of it. And then he added to it with even worse policies toward China and his support for TPP, which even the labor unions and many in the ag community hated because it was going to ship more jobs overseas. You know, Joe Biden likes to say he knows how to bring back jobs, but he's the one who sent them over there in the first place. And so what we've got to do is we've got to recognize that we've got a president in Donald Trump who fixed NAFTA after we had politicians of both parties lie to us for decades that they were finally going to do it. It took Donald Trump to get it done. It helped our ag community. It opened up Canada for dairy and for other products that where they had very unfair trade practices going on with us. Obviously, the same, of course, is true with Mexico. So we've got the guy who gets it. He also knows how to negotiate tough and get a good deal. We need to keep him in there for 4 more years.
Mark Lotter and the team will be closest to Fargo-Moorhead area. Fergus Falls, 225 tomorrow on the bus. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. Back on What's On Your Mind. The census is coming to a close. Do you know that? It's coming to a close, folks. North Dakota cannot afford to leave our state's fair share of apportioned federal funds on the table. That's why it is so important. Every counted individual brings in over $19,100 in federal funding to North Dakota over the next decade. So if somebody's knocking on your door from the census, it's important. They go to your neighbor's door. And now even if you've said, okay, I need to do this, and I'm going to go to the census website, and I'm going to make sure I get that in, they still will knock because the deadline is here, and they just want to make sure you've been counted. This is most important for your local community, next to the state. 2020census.gov, if you haven't yet done it, 2020census.gov, if you haven't yet done it. The Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, with us on What's on Your Mind. Mr. Secretary, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, Scott. It's great to be with you again and to be with your listeners. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Appreciate it very much. You know, I don't think the innovation and the American spirit, I think of the Wright brothers, right? The Wright brothers messed around in a farm field somewhere, and pretty soon they're flying. And now think how that's changed the world. And we have obviously a pandemic on our hands with the coronavirus 19. But we also have a ton of innovation trying to find a vaccine, trying to find therapies. And nobody seems to tell the story. I know you know it pretty well, but how are we doing in that regard?
Well, it's really been an incredible story. So President Trump said this is the country that could send a man to the moon and return him safely to the earth within a decade. This is the same country that has the muscle, has the financial wherewithal, and the private sector that can develop vaccines and therapeutics faster than the drug companies were saying is normal. And so he created Operation Warp Speed, which I, along with Secretary Esper at the Defense Department, are leading, and it's delivering already historic results. We now have three vaccine candidates in what are called phase three clinical trials. That's the final stage. Each of them have an astounding 30,000 people that will be in their clinical trials, you know, often 4,000 or 5,000 people in a vaccine trial. We are going the extra mile, 30,000 people in each clinical trial. That's the last stage of testing for safety and efficacy. The Pfizer CEO, that's the CEO of one of the first vaccine candidates, has said that he believes that the trials may report results as soon as late October. And we believe with those three and three other vaccines that we have now contracted with from the federal government, that it is very credible that by the end of the year, we will have in the high tens of millions of doses of FDA gold standard vaccine and many hundreds of millions of doses of vaccine as we move into the following year. This is just historically unprecedented. It is America's biopharmaceutical industry. It is the leadership of President Trump just challenging paradigms to say we can do it by putting the full force of the government and economy behind it. It's really incredible.
And there has been some suggestion that people need to question this because it's happened so quick, or that the president wants it so bad that it won't be properly tested. Can you just reassure people in that regard of what kind of safeguards are in place related to the safety of whatever product ends up coming out?
Absolutely. And I find so many of those messages from certain individuals to be very harmful to the public health. It basically plays into the anti-vax movement that will try to undermine this or any other vaccine. And all we're trying to do is ensure that we have safe, effective FDA gold standard vaccines and therapeutics available for people. The president has made clear, I've made clear, and the FDA commissioner have made clear that any decision will be based on science, evidence, and the law here. We got the pharmaceutical company CEOs to say the same thing to reassure the American public. You know, the way these vaccine trials work, we don't even see the data as it's going. There's an independent data and safety monitoring board, and that board has to judge the data that's coming in against pre-specified safety and efficacy endpoints and statistics, and only when they decide that that criteria has been met is the data revealed to the drug company as well as to the Food and Drug Administration. Before then, we don't see anything and we can't see anything. So these are all judgments that will be guided by science and evidence. We have laid out from the FDA transparent criteria of what we will require for the approval of a vaccine. We've said we'll have a public advisory committee process of outside experts advising us. It'll be transparent. And so I think the American public should feel very reassured that they're only going to be seeing vaccines that the FDA has determined meet its gold standard.
We're rooting for the local guys because they're playing a role with all of the vaccines, which is pretty cool. And I don't even know how many of our listeners know this, but a company called Aldevron, founded by Michael Chambers years ago, that's just grown and grown and grown, is actually providing the, I guess it's called the DNA or the operating system for all of the warp speed vaccines, like 40 of the vaccines that are out there, and have a phenomenal manufacturing capacity as well. Again, that kind of ties back to the innovation. We're happy it's happening here, certainly, as well. But, you know, a company like Aldevron, what role do you see them playing in solving this problem?
Well, it's interesting to learn about that company. I had not known about them before and their involvement, but we've just got hundreds of American biopharmaceutical and manufacturing innovators that are part of this massive effort. Because what the president's genius here really, in terms of this initiative, said is, on two tracks, we're going to move quickly. The first is on developing the evidence around vaccines and developing the actual vaccines. Normally, a drug company, because they're financial companies, they're going to want to minimize risk. They'll go through one stage of clinical trials before they even start planning out the next stage of their trials to see if it's working. We have the weight of the federal government, so what we're doing is we can plan all of that out and be ready to execute as driven by science and data, but with no days of delay. And then the other thing drug companies do is they wait till they have a proven vaccine before they start figuring out to and actually manufacturing commercial doses of vaccine. We are doing that at risk. We are investing in making right now millions of doses of vaccine that will be available when and if the FDA determines any of those vaccines meet their gold standards for authorization or approval.
Help me understand, sometimes you see these stories and you sort of scratch your head. I guess I can never say it. Kevin, you're my pronunciator.
Hydroxychloroquine.
Thank you. Hydroxychloroquine. You saw the sort of battle over that, even though it's been here how many years? And there have been others. Help me understand, how, I don't know, is the FDA or HHS, how do you encourage innovation and vaccines and products and different therapies, even, supplements and other things that are out there? I mean, a product like Oleandrol, Oleandrin, the COVID-19 treatment that our friend Mike Lindell, Mike's a friend of mine, and he's telling me about this and what he found out about it and all the things they're going through. And the absolute onslaught of vitriol that comes their way, because in this case, I guess it's a supplement, not a drug that would be licensed as a prescription, but it has a safe ranking and has gotten all of that stuff. Help me understand why there is so much opposition to ideas and innovation and things that are on the table as a possible solution. What's going on there?
Well, I can't explain why people would oppose things. What we do at HHS is we try to generate data. And so the NIH and CDC, we work to try to gather and generate data to support whether products are safe and effective. And FDA then decides whether they meet those standards of safety and effectiveness. So the best we can do is just try to make sure the data is getting generated. We also play a role, as we talked about with Operation Warp Speed, where we try to actually make the market. We actually try to drive the innovation ourselves, whether it's developing therapeutics like monoclonal antibodies or remdesivir, or if it's making vaccines where we stand in as the developer and purchaser and funder to make the market move faster than it would just on its own, harnessing the private sector, but really providing the impetus for that private sector to have a viable financial model to go as quickly as possible.
Why wouldn't everybody be for what you just described? That makes perfect sense, right? I mean, why not try everything? I mean, it's got to be put through the same test that everything's through, but the idea of not using something or not testing something to me seems counterproductive.
Yeah, I don't understand it. What I can tell your listeners is we have the right to try, President. You know, President Trump is the one who, after decades of other people failing to get it, brought right to try to the American people, where if you're suffering and really at the end stage and don't have any other hope, You actually have the right to try experimental therapies, and that's the approach he's brought to COVID-19 also, which is we're facing an unprecedented pandemic, and he wants people to have more access, not less. He wants them to have choices. He wants patients and doctors to be able to work together and make decisions about what's right for them, not necessarily for bureaucrats to be determining what's right for them. What we can do here at HHS is generate data and evidence to inform both the regulatory process, but also to inform doctors and patients as they make those decisions. But he is all about the patient being at the center and really preserving and protecting that relationship between the healthcare provider and the patient in making these choices and these decisions. And others are not. Others would rather have bureaucrats make those decisions and prevent access and ration products. That's not Donald Trump.
Last question. I know you got to get rolling here, but I do want to ask you a little bit about the process of, what time was slowing the spread and now is getting towards the back end of just dealing with this crisis. North Dakota has done more testing than anybody and at the same time has more tests per capita. And it's risen to that, which some say, yeah, well, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Is that a good approach just to go out there and test as much as you can to find out what you have?
So Governor Bergen's been doing just a great job leading North Dakota in this and has been a fantastic partner with us and has built such an incredible testing system and regimen out there. And you're right, the more you test, the more you'll find. And what you'll want to do is separate the two purposes of testing. And we've tried to be clear about this with our CDC guidance. One purpose of testing is diagnostics, which is, do you have COVID? So that's somebody who's symptomatic, it's somebody who's a close contact of somebody who's symptomatic, or it's somebody who's asymptomatic, but for one reason or another, a doctor or public health official thinks ought to get tested. So that's to diagnose. The other thing you want to do is have enough background testing going on that's statistically significant and well sampled to do surveillance, because that enables you to see, especially with a pernicious disease like this that spreads so much by asymptomatic transmission and carriage, is it floating around out there? So we do things like even wastewater surveillance. You know, we can look at sewage coming out of dorms or nursing homes, and we can tell if someone in there actually has COVID and go back and surge in with testing. So you balance all of that, but it's good to have eyes on in both diagnosis and surveillance.
Keep up the great work. Thanks for the update on a topic that does not get enough attention in the middle of this, crazy news world we live in. Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
My pleasure, Scott. Great to be with you again.
You as well. Tell you about Big Iron coming up next on What's on Your Mind. Don't go away. Our telephone number, 800-228-0550. You can text me at 701-367-2054 or Todd, 701-226-8503 on What's on Your Mind. We will be at Big Iron tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. One of our fine sponsors, High Plains Apache. They've been counting down, excited for, well over a month to the 2020 Big Iron event because so many things this year didn't happen. This is happening. Now, you should know they've got the entire grounds, which is pretty spread out the way it is, even more distanced. So they've thought of everything and, of course, have all the precautions there with masks and sanitizer and anything else you need. Just get there and come see the folks at High Plains Apache. Great technology in their 2021, some new features that are great. The new sprayers will be there. And High Plains Apache, everything about spray application, they know it, they've got it. High Plains Apache. We are one day away. Can't even believe it. Been talking about this for a long time, really looking forward to it. So stop on up. Find out more on your way, highplainsapache.com, highplainsapache.com. Okay, lots of texters here. Some of you want to know more about this oleandrin. Am I saying that right?
Yep, it's from the oleander bush or tree.
Why can't names of these things be normal, like, blue, red, red, blue, white, white?
You'd make a terrible doctor.
Hydro cloxacoral quill. Unbelievable.
But yeah, oleander is a bush, very poisonous leaves, but they make oleandrin from that. It's a cardiac.
I thought oleander was like a name of a person in North Dakota.
There you go.
Oli, Oli. I'm thinking of that one song.
Oli,
Oli, da, da. Oli, Oli. I can't remember the song, but it's one I'm singing. I've sang at reunions before. Anyway, there's there's a lot of plants out there that have poisonous things if you sit there and eat it like it's some kind of a Juneberry or something, you know. But this is a product that has had some great success with cancer patients. The trial on this for COVID patients was unbelievable because, you know, they have to do X amount of patients and half are on oleandrin in this case and half are not. And in the half that were not, several died that had coronavirus. All the others did not. Now, my point is this. All these things go through rigorous testing. It's not like these things just slip into the market and, you know, oh, here you go. You know, it's a plant. Take that. It'll be fine. No. It doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. But you know what this is all about? Two words, ladies and gentlemen. Who's got the two words for me? Who hates this fix, this natural supplement that has worked so far, has passed the safety test? Who hates it?
The swamp?
Not the swamp. You want to take a stab there, Todd?
Yeah.
Not the swamp.
Two words?
Two words. Yep.
I don't know.
Big Pharma, baby.
Oh, of course.
Big Pharma hates it. That's who hates it. And you know what? I don't think that's some wild, wacky conspiracy theory. I think Big Pharma is so big that they become a blob of their own. Right? Now, I don't mean the average person that's out there selling pharmaceutical drugs. Is, you know, they're not there. I'm saying when you get into the zillions and zillions of dollars and you can decide what the price of drugs are and you have that kind of power, you don't want any competition. I mean, you wouldn't even want David in San Francisco to be on the other side. I mean, he could start his own company and take out Big Pharma because he's a smart San Francisco kind of guy. Am I right, David?
Well, I didn't quite catch it. The phone broke up there as you were saying that, but I don't know if you remember it, but when the World Health Organization discovered the COVID, they were using a 7-cent test, 7 cents a piece. But I was talking to a talk show host the other day, and the guy had to pay $300 for a test, you know, a COVID test. So, you know, Big Pharma is a problem in all of this. The World Health Organization owns a test that the patent rights are owned by the people of the world. And that's why the test runs 7 cents a piece. And it apparently worked well enough so that, you know, there aren't millions dead in China.
I'm going to have to go for a little walk during the upcoming break here and shake off the shock that David in San Francisco and I agree on the challenges of Big Pharma. Way to go, David. Leon Fargo, got a minute. Go.
Oh, I'm a little bit off topic, but I just wanted to say, if you want to know something that's really scary about those two sheriff's deputies, in Los Angeles, not only were they attempting to block the exits, and they actually chanted that they wanted them to die, they were also chanting, screw your Jesus, but not in so nice a term. That's Democrats America. That's their vision for America. We need to be resilient. We need to get out and vote like our country depends on it.
Well, come on. Let's be honest here. Let's be honest, Leon. When you have the level of hate, destruction, disgusting, throwing bricks at law enforcement officers and the signs they carry, the things they say, that's demonic. I mean, that's as dark as you get. And you've given us a new example with the chant in California. Pray for those deputies out there everywhere, all of law enforcement. Leon, thank you.